I just want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just this morning, just for the next 10 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes. The title is Away with Guilt and Shame. I want us to realize this morning afresh what God has done in Christ for you and I, in actually releasing us from fear and sin and guilt and shame. I want to read from verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us." This is by a person who, like Peter, Jesus has transformed his life, and we can't help talking about him, singing about him. "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer." In other words, Paul is saying there, or the writer here is saying in Romans, we don't recognize him just as a man now. We did it one time, or I did it one time. But Jesus is something else. Verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus has done away with our guilt and our shame. I know our conscience can be really sensitive to guilt and to shame. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the author of Sherlock Holmes, decided to play a trick on 12 of his friends. And he sent them all a message, and this is what it said: "Run at once, all is discovered." And within 24 hours, all these 12 friends have fled the country. This is a true story. Guilt usually comes after we have done something wrong. It's kind of a feeling that doesn't go away. This is what psychiatrists say today. They say that they can help a person deal with the feelings of guilt, but they cannot deal with guilt itself. Only God can do that. So guilt brings distance, a lack of confidence, especially before God. So when God is trying to lovingly deal with us and bring us to himself, we, a bit like a spider, we kind of run back into the darkness. You've heard this statement before. It says, "Follow your conscience." Well, sometimes that's not always good, because our conscience is all over. It's a bit like a wheelbarrow. You get a wheelbarrow and we point it in a certain direction, and then we follow that. Sometimes that's how our conscience is. Shame differs from conscience. We're told by others, and sometimes by ourselves, that we're no good, we're a waste of time, we're a failure. So guilt is often feeling of when we've done something wrong. And often we can feel ashamed at that. But to feel shame, we don't have to really do anything wrong. It's a real negativeness about ourselves. It can leave us feeling inferior. We can feel humiliation. We can often feel worthless. And you and I in our lives, what we continue to do is we continue to do things that are wrong, because we're very good at that. And sometimes our life becomes a scar. We keep on doing things and our life becomes a scar, so we eventually have no feeling. I want us to realize this morning how much God loves you and I, in that he has done away with guilt and shame that really screws us up. Listen to this word, righteousness. Righteousness, and this is what we are in Christ. It means that we're not guilty. It means in a way that we're innocent. We've been approved. We've been accepted by him. Righteousness, being in Christ, is a position. It's who he has made us to be. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be sat in church praising God and listening to testimonies about how God has changed a person's life. David, years ago, he had committed four bad things. This is King David. And for 1 year, he were out of sync with God. He just wasn't feeling right about himself. He were kind of screwed up and he kept denying it. And God broke in and he highlighted his problem. And then all of a sudden, David cried out and he said, God, will you heal me? God, will you forgive me? God, will you fix me? Because I've made a right mess. And God's so good at that. Through the power of the cross, we have forgiveness. We can be born again. We can receive new life. But this was David. Salvation. Listen to what it says about salvation. It means wholeness and restoration and fullness. And so all of a sudden, there's this exchange life. When you and I, for the first time, realize who Jesus is and what he's done, and like Peter, we kind of say, God, I've messed up. I need you. I'm turning from all that I've done wrong, and I'm going to turn to you, and I want you to come into my life and live the life that you've always wanted for me to live. This is incredible. It's the exchange life. It's exchanging guilt. It's exchanging shame. And all the hurts and all the past and all that stuff that nobody else knows about that you and I go through. When you receive Christ into your life, it's a new life. It's an incredible life. When Jesus Christ comes in by his Spirit, he moves out all the rubbish because that rubbish can't stay where he is. And that's what the Bible talks about, being born again. It's mind-blowing stuff. But he says that he has made us righteous. Let me just illustrate something to you. I don't know where I'm doing money in my wallet because I'm a married man. Married men don't have money in the wallet, do they? Here's a tenner. Does anybody want this? Anybody like a tenner? No trick? Just, yeah? You'd like it? Okay. Let me just... Would you still like it? Yeah? Okay. Still want it? Still want it? Don't know? Life messes us up. But that's still got the same value. And this is how Jesus looks upon you and I. We've messed up, we've screwed up, we've done things to ourselves, and he still goes all the way to the cross because he said, I still value you. You're still valuable to me. And the world is very, very good at messing us up. So this word metamorphosis, I'm sure what comes to mind is the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And this is just what happens when you and I come to that place, we fight God for sometimes months and years, and this, we get to a place where it's like, do you know something, God? Why didn't I say this before? Because I need you so much. And all of a sudden, this metamorphosis begins to happen within our life, this change. You know the story, well, you know the illustration, really, of a caterpillar actually becoming a butterfly. Man, have you ever seen that on these programs? It's an absolute mind-blower. You've got this little, ugly, hairy caterpillar crawling about on the floor, and all of a sudden it becomes something absolutely beautiful. And that's what God does with us. It's a kind of process. And I've just scribbled down just one or two things, because some things that really, really came to light is when a butterfly becomes a butterfly, it has no signs of it all being a caterpillar. Yeah? It's actually a butterfly. And sometimes within our lives, when we're trying to kind of keep God off our back and we try to do things to appease God, we get into a religious cycle of doing things just to keep God at bay. And we kind of like a caterpillar, we do all the religious stuff. And this is what God says, you cannot do anything. I've done it. I've done it through Christ. I've done it all through him. So stop trying to keep doing, because it's done. It's finished. And so for you and I then, is to receive Christ into our life. A religious person will actually try to be a butterfly when really they're a caterpillar. Some of us, we've kind of received that life and we've kind of got wings, but the real truth of it has not dawned upon us and we still live like a caterpillar. Can you remember God bringing his people out of Egypt? He was bringing them out to bring them into Canaan. And what he said to them is, I've taken you out of slavery. I am making you a new people. I'm going to give you a new identity. And in Exodus 14, they've got a spring in their step. They've got a sparkle in their eye. They're walking out of Egypt. All the kind of rubbish that they had been enslaved by, now they're walking out into absolute freedom. And they're kind of living like a butterfly. And then as soon as any hassle comes, oh, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to where it was okay and it was safe. God, what are you doing? And they're acting like a caterpillar again. And God has got so much for you and I in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And Paul, as he's writing to the churches, he often says, take off that old stuff. Take off some of the things that still kind of smell before God. Some of the things that nobody else knows about. Put it to one side, because Jesus has paid that price. And begin to live that real new life in God. If anyone is in Christ, they become a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And you and I can't do that on our own. God is at work in us. He is patient. He is loving. He is kind. And here, as we read, the love of Christ, he will just stay with us and be with us. He is patient. He is loving. But folks, there's some things that you and I have to leave behind. If you're dealing with guilt, the Lord wants you to know that he's already dealt with all that. He don't want you to carry that. If also you're dealing with shame and these things really screw us up inside, if you're dealing with shame, he's already dealt with that because he loves us. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I'm just going to read from the book of Romans just before we move into a time of communion. Just let me read from Romans and chapter 6. Just verses 4 to 7. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death. If you're not baptized, I'd love to chat with you. It's the kind of first step of obedience after receiving Christ. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And in this chapter, it's talking about you and I having new life in Christ and living that out. I don't know if I've told you this story before about Helen Roosevelt. Helen Roosevelt come to a place where she'd become a Christian. She was in Bible college. Life had changed for her, but there was nothing really, really happening. But she got to a place where she actually realized that her old life that had offended God, or had been, her life had been run by her, now she came into a place of full surrender. And she said to God, "God, I will go whatever you want me to do. I will do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to leave all my past behind, and I am going to trust you fully and completely." And her life were radiant. Her life were different. And then scores of people were just coming to Christ. These words, folks, are really, really challenging. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they become a new creation. Hallelujah. Peter is a new creation. He's not like he was before. He's completely and utterly different. Just think about these words. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And you and I have got so much to walk into. When I look back at my life to where I am now, I think the transformation has been incredible. And that's your life too. That you and I are hid in Christ, in God. We belong to Him. We are God's own possession.